Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet, that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, and concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, we want to pray for you. So give us a call at 419-389-0893. That's 419-389-0893. And let us know what your need is, and we'll be happy to pray for you this morning. You can also email or text at prayer@yeshome.com. That's prayer@yeshome.com. And you can get your prayer request to us that way. However you do it, let us know what your need is so we can pray for you today. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so you don't need to worry about that. If it's something personal, you know, you're struggling in a relationship, marriage or something, and you don't really want to broadcast that, that's fine. You don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in. We just want to pray for you. So we always keep it anonymous. We don't give out any identifying information. We just want to lift you up before the Lord. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we do thank you for this day that we have to come before you and to know that you are there, ready to hear from us. Indeed, that you have invited us into your presence. You have called us to come before you and to seek the help that we need. Lord, we pray that you would indeed come and help us. Lord, that we would come before you, we would lay all our lives before you, or every burden or every need before you, knowing that you are there to take them up, to meet them, that they are small things to you, however big a burden they may be to us, and that you are, in your great love and grace and mercy, ready to act in our lives. And indeed, Lord, we give you all glory and honor and praise because you are so great and so awesome. And Lord, we thank you for all you have done for each and every one of us, that you may move once again in us. And in this day, we confidently come, expecting and knowing we will receive good things from our good Father. So we praise you. We exalt you. We lift you up. We exalt your name on high, Lord. For indeed, you are worthy of all our praise. And we pray this in your name. Amen. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer, we always like to get into the Word of God. And we've been looking at the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. And we're in chapter 4 today. We're up to chapter 4. And Thessalonians is a book Paul wrote to a church that he had begun, but it had really only just begun. It was only there for about a month or so before he was chased out of the city. So he really didn't have time to establish a church like he would have liked to. Many times he'd go and spend a year or even longer in a city getting them prepared. But he didn't have that opportunity in Thessalonica, so he's writing them this letter, one, to tell them how much he's been thinking about them and praying for them and concerned for them, and then two, to say, now that he's received report and word on them, how overjoyed he is to hear that they're flourishing in the Lord and that the church is strong and that they're following after God. And so he writes this letter, one, to thank and encourage them, but also, two, to kind of give some instruction here that he didn't have time to give when he was there, and to reinforce some of the instruction that he did give when he was there. So we're going to pick it up in chapter 4, where he says, "Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathens who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit." So he writes to them and encouraging them, saying, one, you know, we taught you how to live. And first of all, we're encouraged to find you're living that way. So the problem with the Thessalonians is not that they're not living proper lives. They are. By all accounts, the Thessalonican church is functioning well. The people are, you know, they're not perfect. We're not saying they're sinless saints, but they're faithfully living after the Lord. They're faithfully following after the Lord. The reports on them are good. They're really endeavoring to follow Jesus, and their lives are reflecting that, right? Their lives are reflecting this truth. Their lives are reflecting the teachings of God, the morality that he's called them to, the holiness that he has called them to. And so Paul says, first of all, we're encouraged that you're living this way. In fact, you are living this way. But he says, now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. In other words, to keep growing in this knowledge and obedience to the Lord. That this is a life change that has to happen. This is not about changing behavior. This is about changing our lives. That when we come to Jesus, it reorients our entire life. You know, a lot of time people talk about this in diets. You know, why do diets fail? And one of the problems with diets is that people will change their behavior for a time. Right? You're dieting, I'll lose 20 pounds. Okay. So you go on this diet and you give up sugar and pop and this and that and whatever. You go the paleo diet, you go the Mediterranean diet, you go the keto diet. And you, I mean, whatever one. They got 8 billion diets out there right now. You go vegan. And it works, right? You lose the 20 pounds or whatever. You set your goal for yourself. And then 6 months later, all the weight's back on. What happened? Well, what happened is you changed your behavior for a time. You reached your goal and then you stopped, right? You went back to eating the way you did before and you put the weight back on. That's why so many diets fail, or you see yo-yo dieting, because we'll only change our behavior for a little while. If we want to really change, we have to change our lifestyle. That's what a lot of people tell you. You really want to lose weight and keep it off. You got to change your lifestyle. You got to say, this isn't just a diet that I'm going on. I'm going to change my lifestyle. I'm going to change the way you eat. It's not like I'm giving up pop for Lent. I'm giving up, you know, the sweetened beverages for on purpose. This is a lifestyle change that I'm going to follow for the rest of my life. And when people can reconcile that and make that choice and make that change, what happens is they keep the weight off, right? They'll lose the weight and keep it off, and they'll be able to maintain at the level they want to because they've changed their lives. And so Paul is writing to the Thessalonican church and saying, look, we've heard these wonderful reports about you, that you're living faithfully, that you're doing the work God gave you, you're living in the way God has called you to live. Now we're asking you to grow in that more and more. Don't make this just a little behavior change for a while. We want you to make this your life. This is how you live because this is who you are. That's what it is. This is who you are. Now be that. Be who you are. Grow in this. Grow in this faithfulness. Grow in this knowledge of the Lord. Grow in this obedience to Him. Don't change. And he tells them the things that he instructed them to do. And it's interesting that there's a real focus on sexual purity in this. He says it's God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. God's will is for you to be sanctified. First of all, God's desire is for you to be sanctified, for you to live a sanctified life, a holy life before Him. So that's God's will and desire for you. So if you pray to God and ask God to help you with that, and it's His desire and will for you, do you think God's going to help you with that? Well, of course, right? It's His desire and will for you. It's His purpose for you. Therefore, He's going to help you. So anytime that we're struggling in these areas, we can always pray to God and say, God, help me to be sanctified. Help me to be holy. And we know we're praying in the will of God. We're not praying against God with something that God wants. Sometimes I can pray, God, give me this job. And God will say, no, because I have a better job for you. I have a different job for you. I've set something else aside for you. And He'll say, no, because what we prayed for wasn't within His will. He had something else for us that was better. Well, here we know we're praying in God's will. He's not going to tell us, no, I don't really want you to be sanctified, because He just said He does. So we know that if we're struggling in this area, God will help us because it's His will for us to be sanctified. So we can go with confidence before Him, knowing that He is going to bring this about in us because He desires it for us. And he emphasizes sexual immorality, that you should avoid all sexual immorality. Remember the culture that they're growing up, a culture very much like our own. They grew up in a sex-saturated culture. They grew up in a very decadent sexual culture, much like we do, where, you know, just casual sex and, you know, sex outside of marriage and people shacking up and whatever, just getting together just to have sex. This was a commonplace thing in the Rome of this day. It was how people lived. People would go to these pagan temples, and often there were temple prostitutes, and part of your worship, so to speak, was to go and have sex with them. And I mean, it was a very decadent culture. They would have understood our culture today. You know, yeah, obviously you plot Paul down in, you know, 21st century America, yeah, there's going to be a major culture shock for him. But some things that he would see, I imagine that, well, in some ways there would be major cultural shock and the technology and stuff would just overwhelm him. Culturally, I think after he kind of got over his initial shock, he'd look around going, you know what, this isn't all that different. I recognize this. This isn't that different than what I'm used to. the glorification of sexual immorality, the glorification, you know, the eroding away of moral restraint. I know this. It was a great challenge to the early church and why there's so much talk about it. Paul's saying, is this not what we're destined for? We're not destined for this. It's destructive. It's harmful to us. It's harmful for others. And notice what he says, that we're not to live in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this manner no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. That you not wrong each other. Because, see, this is what happens when we have sexual immorality. Ultimately, we're not only sinning against ourselves, but we're sinning against others. Because I'm using someone else for my own pleasure without any commitment to them, without any care for them, without any love for them. Unlike a marriage, where we're giving ourselves to each other freely in a committed and loving relationship to encourage and nourish one another, where there's mutual give and take and there's an investment in the other person and it's another director kind of relationship in, you know, the hookup culture, to use a modern term, there's none of that. I'm not invested in that other person. I'm just using them for my pleasure and then the next day I'm gone. I don't want to be entangled with anything because I don't really care about them. I found them useful. That's it. You know, I didn't find them to be a wonderful person or just someone I need to get to know or someone. I just found them useful in that moment and they were useful to me and pleasure myself with them and moving on. So I've sinned against myself. I've sinned against them. And he warns us that God is going to punish those who act in such a way because he doesn't call us to live that way. He calls us to be holy. And Paul reminds him, this instruction isn't from men, it's from God. And that's the key. We have a lot of pressure on the church today, a lot of pressure on Christians today to change their ideas of morality and what's moral and what's immoral, to change our idea of what's proper sexually, you know, where God says that the only sex that's proper is that between a husband and a wife in a marriage commitment, that sex is reserved solely and only and exclusively for that relationship and anything outside of that and in whatever form is sin. Well, that's obviously not a very popular message in today's culture. That's going to bring you into a lot of conflict with today's culture. There's a lot of pressure on the church to change that teaching, and some churches have. But what Paul says here is, look, these aren't the commands of men that they can be changed. This is the command of God. It does not change. And he says, anybody who rejects these commands, as he says in verse 7, rejects God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. It's not for us to change. We don't get that privilege. We don't have that right. We don't get to change it just because we find it inconvenient. We don't get to change it just because the world finds it stupid and Victorian and old-fashioned and whatever. Repressive and blah, blah, blah. It's the command of God. Because it's part of his command that we should be holy and sanctified. And we can't be holy and sanctified if we're living in an immoral way. Therefore, we need to live pure lives. Regardless of the pressures that are around us. To live in holiness. And so Paul is saying, look, I know you're doing this already. You've changed. You're living differently. The world is noticing. I'm urging you more and more because the pressure's not going away. The culture's not going away. They're not going to change. You need to live differently in the face of it and continue to do so that you might be that holy and sanctified person that God wills you to be. And if you're at home right now, you're listening to this message, and maybe this is an area you're struggling in, I don't say this to discourage you. Remember what we said before. It's God's will for you to be sanctified. So if you're struggling in this area, you go to God. Pray to him. He's not going to beat you down about this. It's his will for you to be sanctified. So if you're struggling, pray that he will help you. And he will help you. He's not going to reject you. He's not going to turn you away. He's not going to say no. No, I won't help you. This, you get yourself straightened out. You come to me looking at you all filthy, nasty thing, coming to me like this, asking for prayer. Get yourself straightened out, and then you can come ask me. No, that's not how it works. We come to him broken. We come to him in need, but we come to him in his will saying, Lord, I know I'm not within your will right now, but I want to be in your will. Help me to be in your will. Help me in this area of my life. Give me these things that you've called me to have. Give me a holy life, a pure life. He will do it. He will do it. Because he loves you and he wants you to be sanctified. And he's going to receive you. He's not going to shame you. He's not going to tear you down. He's going to receive you. He's going to love you. He's going to help you. He's going to forgive you. He's going to build purity into your life. He's going to show you what you need to do to see that a reality made in your life. Satan's going to try to tell you and trap you in shame and tell you you can't go to God and you can't tell him about this and you can't deal with this. Ignore him. He's lying to you. He's a liar. Ignore him. God is calling you to him, saying, come to me, my child. I will restore you. I will help you. My desire, my will is for you to be sanctified. You come to me, and I'll make it happen in your life. That's his will for you. So you go to him. If you're struggling in this area, you pray. Ask his forgiveness. Ask him to build this into your life. He will receive you, and he will forgive you, and he will do it. He will give this to you. He will do it. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, and not to say there won't be hard times through that, and it won't be difficult, but he'll do it. And he'll do it in a way that doesn't destroy you or embarrass you or humiliate you. He'll do it in a way that restores you, in a way that restores you and builds you up. Because that's his desire for you, to be holy and sanctified. You're not the first person to struggle with this. You won't be the last. He's restored many, many others. He will restore you, okay? Go to him. Go to him. And if you need prayer today, you send it to us. We'll pray for you. You don't have to tell us who you are. We keep it anonymous. You know that. We want to pray for you. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. This has been the Prayer Closet. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. Be back tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., to do it all over again then. In the meantime, if you have a prayer, you can call 419-389-0893. And that's available Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And there are people here who'd be happy to pray with you. You can also email or text prayer at yeshome.com. You get your prayer request to us at any time, and we'll pray for it on the next Prayer Closet. Or you can go online to our website, yeshome.com, click on the Chat Now button, and get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.